Last 2 days of the NFL offseason off and rolling. Wednesday saw Trey Hendrickson granted permission to seek a trade. Jaguars released Christian Kirk, and then they traded him to the Texans, along with releasing Evan Engram. Tyler Lockett released, and within an hour, DK Metcalf requesting a trade. Holy moly. The NFL offseason is off and running, and we're not even at the free agency period yet. This is the Full Brewski Podcast.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has 3 touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that 6 or 7 spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
This is the Fumble Rooski Podcast by Power 88 Dean Radio and Secret Weapon Consulting. I'm Chris Kostich with CJ Medeiros. The legal tampering period is just around the corner, and good God, we've had a number of storylines coming in from the last 48 hours, even today. We'll get to some of the stuff today later on, but one of the big news stories from Wednesday amongst many was the Bengals granting Trey Hendrickson permission to seek a trade. And this comes after, of course, T. Higgins getting hit with the franchise tag for the second time. And you get a guy like Trey Hendrickson now, who was your league leader in sacks at 17.5 this past year. You had already signed him to a 4-year, $60 million contract back in 2021. And now you've granted your best defensive player to seek out a trade, see who wants him. And it'd be hard to say that no one wants him, because you got a guy that looks like an absolute badass, no gloves, the eye black streaked down his face. No, did I mention no gloves? And he leads the league in sacks, 17.5 from last year. And your defense also was atrocious. So already the offense, already for the Bengals, it looks like that the offense is going to do everything again. And they're going to have to rely on Joe Burrow to save their ass for next year, depending on if they do end up getting a trade done. But oh, man, since he's just, it feels like they took a small step forward with the T. Higgins thing, just a small one, but now they're taking a gigantic leap back with this Trey Hendrickson thing.
Oh, my God. As if their defense wasn't bad enough, they go and they do this. Long have I said that the way Joe Burrow is, you know, like restructuring his cap and telling the team what he wants, and the way, you know, that, you know, what their priorities are with Chase and Higgins, right? I just said it so ass backwards. It's like the only apt way to describe it is picture a family letting like their child, like their 5-year-old, dictate the shopping. That's how stupid it is. You know what I mean? Like, because they're not going to put anything good on said list. It's just going to be all candy and pizzas and shit, right? But I mean, basically, like, that's a close analogy, because they're just like, oh, we're just going to sign 2 really good receivers to like the rest of our cap space, and Joe Burrow is going to have what's left, and then that's going to be it. Keep in mind, your defense is losing pieces. I think they're about to cut Jermaine Pratt, or trade Jermaine Pratt, if he's not already cut. Trey Hendrickson wants out. I mean, granted, that's going to free up money, but like I said, your defense is already bad. Your offensive line just continues to just not just be subpar. And the thing is, at least with the O-line, that's a coaching thing, right? Because no matter who they put there, it always underperforms. And like I said, at this point, it's coaching. But for the defense, that's just a straight-up lack of personnel, because their defense is Trey Hendrickson and everybody else. Look, and I know since he prioritizes flash, but you need to prioritize Hendrickson over Higgins. I mean, you really do. And because look, when you have two wide receiver ones, it's a luxury. I mean, especially, I mean, look, and if the rest of your team's figured out, then fine, get the other wide receiver one. But when your defensive backfield is as terrible as it is, the best player on your defense wants out and your offensive line is falling apart, is T. Higgins really your biggest concern? And here's the thing. I know. I'm fully aware that that they don't want to lose him for nothing. Higgins, I mean. I get it. But you had chance after chance to trade him, and his value has never been lower than it is right now, because this is the second year in a row that you've tagged him, meaning that that tag has now become, what was it, like 20% more expensive. And you know, and now teams, like I said, they're just going to wait you out. Honestly, I'm not taking a T. Higgins holdout off the table. So like you have even less leverage than you did before. And at this point, Bengals, you're going to take a fourth round pick and you're going to like it. I mean, yep. That's pretty much it. That's all there is to it.
Yeah, and chances, I mean, you'll probably end up getting a better offer for Trey Hendrickson as well, considering that he's going to have actually, now that I think of it, this is going to end up being his last year under contract, correct?
Last or second to last, yeah.
Yeah, one of the two. But regardless, I just feel like this is just going to be the same Bengals team next year. We're going to see another slow start through the first 4 weeks, and then it's going to be a bad enough start where they're going to have to dig themselves out of a hole, and then the hole's going to be too big to dig themselves out of, where they're going to be the third to last team or the third team that's going to be out, and you need two other teams to do your bidding for you. And on week 18, and it's just going to be a shit show all over again. Officially official, says Ian Rappaport. What do we have here?
All right.
Oh, it's just Bobby Wagner getting re-signed.
Wagner? Yeah.
Yeah. Bobby Wagner got re-signed by the Commanders probably yesterday at this point, I think.
I thought you were going to say officially official, Ian Rappaport and Jordan Schultz have kissed and made up.
No. No. Bobby Wagner officially re-signed by the Commanders. Commanders officially posted on their social media. So,
contract details out or no?
I'm not sure.
All right.
I don't see any contract details.
By the way, you, the viewers at home, would already know this if you followed FumbleRooski_podcast on Instagram, where we post all of the news. So
all of
do
it.
That what you will.
Yep. We're going to move on. When we come back, we'll get into the Christian Kirk trade and the release of Evan Engram. This is the Fumbleroski podcast.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has 3 touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that 6 or 7 spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
This is the Fumbleroski podcast. Chris Kostich, CJ Medeiros. Christian Kirk, kind of an interesting 24-hour period for him. Wednesday, he gets told that he's going to get released. Thursday, they say, nope, you're actually getting traded to Houston. And then sometime, Evan Engram was today, yesterday?
Yesterday.
Yesterday, Evan Engram, shortly after the Christian Kirk trade, was released by the Jaguars. Evan Engram had a pretty solid 2023, the year that the Jaguars had that big collapse in the last 5 weeks of the season. 766 yards in 2022 and improved to 963 in 2023. Christian Kirk, unfortunately, like he's been good, but his best year was 2022, 84 catches, 1,100 yards, 8 touchdowns, but he's also missed 14 games. in the last two seasons. And this past year, only played in half the games, 27 catches, 379 yards, and only one touchdown. Evan Engram, not much better, 47 catches, 365 yards, and one touchdown. I only say not much better because he only ended up playing one more game than Christian Kirk and had 20 more receptions than him. But if we're going based off of that, Christian Kirk, in my eyes, has always been a wide receiver two, maybe even wide receiver three, that's in the skin of a wide receiver one. And that's because he got paid like a wide receiver one. Originally was in Arizona, moved over to Jacksonville a couple of years ago, and they gave him the contract to be a wide receiver one. But in reality, he's no more than a wide receiver two. And on a good team, he's a wide receiver three. For this trade to the Texans, it's a big trade because they're going to be without Tank Dell. He already got surgery on his MCL and his PCL. Now he just got surgery on his ACL, which is putting him out for the remainder for next season. Because
So is that official that he's going to miss all of next year?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. It's an ACL tear. Like, usually, yeah,
in late season too, you know. So
yeah, it
was a killer.
I mean, never mind that he tore his ACL; he tore everything in his freaking knee. Like, you're done.
Another play, I know.
Yeah. So you have that on top of the fact that your Stephon Diggs is most likely gone as well. He's a free agent this year, so I feel like if your wide receiver room is consisting of Nico Collins and Christian Kirk, you're kind of a little bit in trouble. A little bit.
Yeah, I don't know. I want to see what John Metchie can do. Because he was posed to start, and then he got, a cancer diagnosis or something from that, which he beat, thankfully. But still, I mean, that sucks. I mean, I definitely want to see what he can still do. Diggs is gone. You know, Dell probably won't play at all next year. Kirk with Nico Collins, who's already your established one, I think you can make do, especially since you have Dalton Schultz at tight end. And Schultz is a top 10 tight end in the league. You know, you got Joe Mixon at running back. So, honestly, I don't see, like, the huge problem. Other than that, it's just you better hope CJ Stroud's down year was just your stereotypical sophomore slump. Honestly, if you improve the line, then he should be able to make do with Nico Collins and Christian Kirk. I mean, Chris, let's be real. That's not a bad pairing, especially you have guys.
No, it's not a bad pairing, but it's just not a bad pairing.
A better line. And if he can't get by and if he struggles with both of them, then maybe he's just not as good as we thought. You know, like I said, just a lot of it. I think the issue is the O-line. You got Kirk, cool. You got him for a seventh. Now fix the line. Like, it's really that simple. And as far as Evan Engram goes, that's just showing that new head coach Liam Cohen and their new GM who they got from the Rams, I don't remember who he is. He's like 34. He's a real youngin'. They're just cleaning house, and I get it. You know, like, you got Trevor, and I know you want to keep the talent around him, but Brian Thomas Jr. grabbed the wide receiver one spot away from Christian Kirk. And, you know, that's just kind of just how it's been going since, you know, I mean, he took it, he never gave it back. But at the end of the year, there was never any doubt. Evan Engram, though, that was really more of a salary dump move than anything, so yeah, we'll see. And it's not just that. Devin Duvernay and Ronald Darby were also released. So, yeah, that's pretty much it. Like I said, my big takeaway, it's not even for a Texans thing. Moving on to the Jaguars, it's just they're cleaning house. A lot of coaches do when they get in.
Yeah, no, for sure. It's going to be interesting to see how this wide receiver room ends up shaking out because in terms of receiving yards, Brian Thomas – so – you mentioned Brian Thomas, 87 catches, 1,200 yards, 10 touchdowns. The next closest guy is Brenton Strange, who ended up being the starting tight end because Evan Engram couldn't stay healthy. 40 catches, 411 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Nobody else got over 500 yards in this receiving in this offense. So it'd be interesting to see what the Jaguars end up trying to do once free agency hits on Monday. But good God, or Tuesday, I mean. Jaguars just feel like they keep going further downhill. But I don't know. You got Liam Cohen as the new head coach, offense mastermind. He has a lot of high praise for Trevor Lawrence. Maybe he's going to end up doing something pretty good with this matchup of Trevor Lawrence and Brian Thomas.
Hey, you know, he should be able to. Keyword is should. This is going to be all on Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah. It's going to be.
You have ETN at running back, too. So the cupboard isn't entirely bare. You know, we'll obviously revisit it after the offseason. Does it suck losing Kirk and Engram? Yeah, it does. But when you have Brian Thomas Jr. and Travis Etienne, I'm not going to go out and say, oh, God, it's the end of the world.
Yeah, this is going to be a big, big year for Trevor Lawrence to really show that he is the number one pick for a reason. So should be interesting to see how that goes. You got anything else to add for that?
No, not really.
All right, we're going to move on. Take a little break when we come back. Boy, drama in Seattle. They're falling apart too. We'll talk about that after this.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has 3 touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that 6 or 7 spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
This is the Fumble Rooski Podcast by Power 88 Radio and Secret Weapon Consulting, Chris Kostich, CJ Medeiros. Seahawks, they released Tyler Lockett, their go-to guy for the last 10 years. Released him. Shortly thereafter, DK Metcalf requests a trade within literally the hour on Wednesday. Whew. Goodness gracious. I mean, the Tyler Lockett thing, obviously another case of a salary dump, unfortunately. In the case of DK Metcalf, kind of interesting. I'll get to that, to my thoughts about DK Metcalf in a moment. But 2025 is going to be a big JSN year, that's for sure.
Yeah, so if you have JSN in any Dynasty Fantasy Leagues, you are golden. But, that's got to suck.
Especially if Geno Smith continues to throw 35 to 40 times a game, too.
Mm-hmm. Imagine he will, because neither of their running backs can stay healthy.
Yep.
But that's neither here nor there. It was within the hour, too. That's the crazy part. So get this. Tyler Lockett, you're all reliable. Been there for 10 years, a whole decade. You know, you drafted him out of Kansas State, stayed there, humble, 4 straight 1,000-yard year seasons at one point. Just reliable, that's the word. And he's gone. You know, I get you got to save money. But it sucks. But you have JSN, you have DK, you have 2 number ones. And then, not even an hour later, DK Metcalf says, "Hi, I'm DK Metcalf, and I'd like to request a trade." And then, just like that, it all comes crashing down. And I would go a step further than what we said for the Texans, where it's like, oh, you know, Nico Collins, Christian Kirk, then who? For the Seahawks, it's JSN, right? Jaxon Smith-Njigba. And then who? Like, who else is on their roster? I don't think Eskridge is there anymore. I know they got rid of him. You got tight end Noah Fan. He's pretty cool. But I don't know who's after that. I mean, I'm not a Seahawks fan, so I'm not – super, you know, knowledgeable of their roster. I know that's my fault. I'm a bad host, but I don't know. I have no idea who's next. I imagine they're going to address this in the draft, more likely than not free agency. But like I said, it's just who else is there outside of Njigba? Actually, I pull up their depth chart now. Jake Bobo. We got Jake Bobo, Derek Young, and Jalen Darden. Okay, then.
Okay.
Jake Bobo, by the way, last season had 13 catches, 107 yards, and a touchdown. I think he has potential, but I'm not going to say, oh my God, it's Jake Bobo season. Shiver me timbers. Like,
yeah. Oh, and we lost CJ. Nice. While CJ gets his act figured out.
Hey, sorry, and he's back. It threw me out. It threw me out for some reason. My computer said no, that not after that take. Sorry about that. Continue with whatever you were going with.
I barely started anything, but my thing about DK Metcalf, though, I mean, look, he's got the frame, he's got the size, he's basically just another version of Calvin Johnson, or at least one would think so, right? Mm-hmm. But he just doesn't play like it. Like, he has the stats. He has solid stats. He doesn't have bad numbers. Okay. But when you actually watch him play, it feels like he struggles in winning a lot of these one-on-one 50-50 ball type of situations. So this past year, 66 catches, 992 yards, and 5 touchdowns. His best year, 90 catches, 1,000 yards, 6 touchdowns, debatably, in 2022. Another one you could throw out there, 83 catches, 1,300 yards, and 10 touchdowns in 2020. The last year he was with Russ. I think that the idea of DK Metcalf is a lot better than what we actually see on the field, per se. Like,
yeah. That's very valid.
Like, when you think of DK Metcalf, like, you think that he's like, the idea is that he's Calvin Johnson 2.0 and he's going to get every 50-50 ball. He's going to get doubled all the time, but he's going to work through the double team. He's your jump ball guy all the time. But he just doesn't really, when you actually watch him play, he just doesn't fit that bill. Obviously, he's going to go for at least a day two pick. But I don't, he's just not all that in a bag of chips. And right now, NFL Network draft guru Daniel Jeremiah on Pat McAfee show saying everybody in the league thinks that DK Metcalf is going to New England. DK Metcalf also doesn't want to live in New England. So I don't know.
You literally said that. That's from the horse's mouth, by the way.
Yeah. So. If he comes to New England, I'll be happy. I like that. We're already improving the wide receiver room, but I feel like that we can also go out and get better and get like Chris Godwin at that point. So I don't know.
Yeah, you definitely can. It's just a lot of it comes down to the eye test too, you know. When you talk about the idea of DK Metcalf, think about the reincarnation of Calvin Johnson. He's tall. He's 6'4". He's 235 pounds, and he's fast. Right? Remember he ran like, what, a 4.4 40?
Something
like that. I remember him just, you know, and as a, you know, just blazing through the 40. Vertical jump is insane. And statistically, he's not even bad. He has played for 6 seasons, and across 6 seasons, he has 438 catches, 6,324 yards, and 48 touchdowns. I mean, the 48 touchdowns isn't ideal because I'm not going to lie. He has 2 seasons of double-digit touchdowns. It just doesn't seem like he has a real nose for the end zone. Kind of like Julio Jones in a way where he would like rack up yards but get like 5 or 6, maybe 7 touchdowns a year where he's a yardage guy but just doesn't really get into the end zone, which if you're DK, there's no excuse. But just when you watch him, he doesn't dominate. Like, he's good. It's just I don't know why. He's a really good wide receiver one, but he's not a great wide receiver one. That's so, like I said, it's so bizarre.
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand why. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say, he hasn't put it together, which, I mean, that's far from the case, but I don't understand what the deal is.
Like, you could say that he's put it together, but not in the way that you would think it should be. Because, like I said, he still has the stats for it. He still has the stats for it. But, like, 900-plus yards in all six seasons that he's played in. Like, yeah, that's great. That's great. Half of those seasons, he's cracked over 1,000 yards. But as you mentioned, CJ, you look at the eye test, you expect more. Like,
you really do.
You really do. Like, 6'4", 235, and you run a 4'4". I'm expecting you to burn defenses on a slant route, and when I want you to go for a go ball, to out-jump the safety in the corner, or the corner and the safety coming in for the help.
Like, yeah, that's a very valid request, I might add.
I expect to throw a jump ball to you almost every single time, to the point where you have double-digit touchdowns every single year. And it's not like he's injury-prone either. Like, yeah, he has a questionable or probable, whatever the fuck. But he's only – but if we look at the last 3 years, he's missed only 3 games. So I don't know what the problem is. I just don't.
I got nothing, man. I really don't. I mean, I think he does need a change of scenery. But to all the Patriots fans out there, we're not getting DK. Just calm down.
Yeah. Like I said, worth at least a day two pick. I can see him going for a third rounder.
With that contract, I'm not giving up a first. Any team who does that is stupid, to put it nicely.
Yeah. Kind of curious what his contract looks like right now, actually. Now that we're talking about it. So he got signed for a 3-year, $72 million contract. That was back in 2022.
So he has 1 year left on his deal.
Yeah, this is the last year on his deal right now. Cap hit for this coming season, $31 million.
Look, now stop the presses, boys and girls. So you're telling me, so here's the thing, right, with him. Seattle said they wanted a first round and a third round pick, correct? I read that. So you're telling me I, as a potential team, am going to give up a first and a third for a 1 year rental? Absolutely not. You're not. I don't want to pay for the privilege of paying. That's not good business. I just, Jesus, tap dancing Christ. Why? Like, no. To Seattle, I'm like, no. You are getting a 2024 second, and you will like it. Not 2024. That's in the past, kids. You are going to get a 2026 second, and you will like it.
Yep. I think that kind of wraps that up pretty nicely. Looking more at Tyler Lockett, though, where could we see him going now that he's been released? He's going to be on the free agent market come Monday and Tuesday. Should be interesting to see where he ends up going. Maybe he goes to an already pretty solid offensive unit in Washington.
That was my thought. I don't see him. It's not even that I don't see him as a wide receiver one, which I obviously don't. I don't think he wants to be a wide receiver one. I think he wants a championship above all else. That's what I think he wants. And even more than that, like I said, I can see him going to Washington. I think he's going to go somewhere where he doesn't have to be the one. And hear me out, I could see him going to Detroit as well. You know, where he can play with J-Mo and Amon-Ra. Like, somewhere he could be a 3, maybe a 2, but he's going to be, if you're like this close to the championship, he's going to be the piece, right, that gets you over.
Yeah. He kind of had a down year this year, 49 catches, 600 yards, 2 touchdowns. Kind of, he played in all 17 games. Like, he used to have an injury problem, especially with concussions. Earlier in his career, kind of seems like they've gone away, considering that you see a lot more now that he is trying to play very safely. But when you look at his number total from the last 3 years, so the last time he hit 1,000 yards was 2022, 84 catches, 1,033 for 9 touchdowns. That was the last of the 4 straight seasons that he hit 1,000. Since then, in the last 2 years, 79 catches, 894 yards, 5 touchdowns. This past year, 49 catches, 74 yards. Let me redo that. 49 catches, 600 yards, 2 touchdowns last year. 79 catches, 894 yards, 5 touchdowns last year. So it feels like he's kind of on a slight downturn right now. But you could also credit that to the fact that there's 2 other mouths to feed right now.
That's really what I think it is. This is like the first time I think in his career that he's actually been wide receiver 3 and not 2.
Yeah. Yeah, because JSN ended up having 100 catches, 1,300 yards this season.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Should be interesting where he ends up going. I wouldn't be surprised if he gets signed the first day that free agency starts.
Yeah, I can see it.
Yeah. But that is all the scheduled content that we have, minus all the other breaking news that happened today itself.
And there's a lot.
Ended up being a lot today. Let me start with, Bobby Wagner, obviously, we said got re-signed. Linebacker Terrell Bernard agreed to 4-year, $50 million contract extension with the Bills, $25.2 million guaranteed. So a solid linebacker to bring back if you're Buffalo, especially a Buffalo defensive unit that was kind of up and down. They had their moments, but they also had their moments of giving up a random like 45 piece to the Lions and the Rams.
True. Happened. It happened a lot. Like there were many such cases.
Yeah. Speaking of the Lions, they gave Derek Barnes a 3-year, $25.5 million contract extension. Keep your defense pieces.
That's good. Smart. You know, got shore up the defense, especially after how much it got just destroyed last year.
Yeah. Commanders released Jonathan Allen because they were unable to find a trade partner for him. So they inevitably save $16 million in cap space because of it. Which, for a Washington unit that struggled, that hasn't been on defense, and that was probably their biggest weakness, or really their biggest weakness of the last 2 seasons. Last year, it didn't matter too much, but it's going to be a tough blow. But see what ends up happening for this next season, or at least in free agency. Hell, I was about to say maybe just keep him around for this year, and then I remember he got released. Silly moment for me. Houston Texans released guard Shaq Mason. So I'm a Shaq Mason guy. I like Shaq Mason.
He was not very good last year, Chris.
He was not, though. He was not. Much like the rest of the Houston O-line.
Yeah.
And then more recently, just over a half hour ago, we're recording this at 2:39 PM. So just over a half hour ago, the Titans released, former Pro Bowl linebacker, Harold Landry. And you know who he used to play for? If Adam was here, I'm just throwing this in there because Adam would say it if he was here. You know who he used to play for? Mike Vrabel.
You know, he used to play for Mike Vrabel, and I think he should go back. That's something Adam, I think, would say.
Yeah. Along with this, Wednesday, Joey Bosa also got released. Zach Bond got an extension, 3 years, $51 million. Also on Wednesday, there was a lot of stuff that happened on Wednesday. Max Crosby, given a 3-year, $106 million contract extension, $91.5 million in guarantees. As of now, the highest paid non-quarterback in NFL history. So already 2 record-breaking contract extensions from 2 different teams. Of course, earlier this last weekend, Saquon got hit with the 3-year extension, right? 2-year, 3-year extension. Either way, ended up making him the highest paid running back of all time.
2 years, and 41. Now,
yep. And then Max Crosby on Wednesday, highest paid non-quarterback in NFL history. Also Wednesday, Raiders are set to sign Alex Kappa after he got released by the Bengals.
That's not great. He was literally the triple crown for being the worst O-lineman in the league. And by the way, it wasn't even just the triple crown in Pro Football Focus ratings. It was the triple crown statistically. Tied for the most sacks given up, the most pressures given up, and the most hurries given up. Raiders never change.
Speaking of the Raiders, they released Gardner Minshew. Minshew mania has come to an end in Vegas, unfortunately.
He'll be fine. You know what? If you're Gardner Minshew, you're a tough guy, right? You like WWE. That's your whole thing. You got the mustache. Just you'll bounce back. Put a Band-Aid on it. Take a salt tablet. You'll be fine.
Is he a wrestling guy?
I don't know. I have decided he is. That is now something that I've decided he is. Like, I don't know. That's his personality now.
Staying in the AFC West, also Wednesday, Chiefs traded Joe Tooney to the Bears for a 2026 fourth-round pick. Former Patriot, of course, and Patriots kind of dropped the ball on reaching out, but they were also
apparently they didn't want to give up that.
They also just weren't interested in general at that point because of the asking price. Sam Hubbard, Cincinnati legend, Sam Hubbard, released by the Bengals, but also announced he is going to be retiring from the NFL. A short-lived career, unfortunately, for a pretty solid defensive end who is going to be most known for the 95-yard scoop and score that he had against the Ravens in the playoffs 2 years ago.
Chris, you're missing one thing.
I'm looking through everything right now. I'm trying to
get one big thing. Can I take this one?
Hold on. Let me get to it. Rams re-signing Tutu Atwell. 1 year, fully guaranteed $10 million contract. The Niners releasing Javon Hargrave at the start of the new league year. So that's newly... This is where I get all fucky at this point. The new league year is technically
Wednesday the 12th.
Is it?
Yeah, because that's the actual start of free agency. Monday's legal tampering period, but a lot of deals still get done regardless.
Yeah. Was that the one you wanted to throw in there?
No.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have a new update in the Myles Garrett saga.
Oh, I was getting there, but
I'm sorry.
One more thing before Myles Garrett. One more thing.
All right, fine.
The Giants re-signed Tommy DeVito. All right, let's talk about Myles Garrett.
So look, kids, we all know the situation in Cleveland's pretty ugly. Ladies and gentlemen, it got uglier. Ready for this? No, you're not, but here we go anyway. Brown star pass rusher Myles Garrett, as you know, wants a trade. He wants to hash this out with their owner, Jimmy Haslam, and he requests to speak to Haslam. You know, makes sense. Jimmy Haslam refused to speak to him and said, if you want to say anything, just talk to the GM. And apparently Haslam's digging in his heels. GM Andrew Berry's digging in his heels and they're saying to Garrett, you play for us, or you don't play at all. You're not going anywhere. And this just broke from Tom Pelissero. Brown star edge rusher Myles Garrett is, quote, fully prepared to miss games next season if he's not traded. Guess what, Browns? You now have a holdout on your hands. And look, it sucks, but here's the thing. You can get a first for him. You could probably get two firsts. There are teams like Philly and Washington that are fully prepared to get into a bidding war over this. And by the way, Cleveland, you're not exactly swimming in cap space. You have $4.3 million. So methinks you should probably trade him. And for the love of God, stop. And Jimmy Haslam, just stop acting like a child. because that's what he's doing. He's literally a petulant child. He's literally saying, you play for us or you don't play at all. Like, why? Like, you're literally holding him hostage. And like, and that's just going to be like $100 million ball and chain just on your bench, not doing anything that you can't use.
Yeah. Throw it in, throw in the cup holder of stupid things that Jimmy Haslam has done. Which, speaking of stupid things that Jimmy Haslam has done, they restructured Deshaun Watson's contract again. Like, the ESPN headline was, Deshaun Watson restructures contract again. So, Cleveland just continues to look terrible and terrible. And terrible. I couldn't tell you where this Browns team is going to go next year, especially when you have it, it seems like no one wants to play in Cleveland now. Like, no one wants to play in Cleveland.
Makes sense.
We were talking about the Browns in 2020. Like, this is going to be a perennial Super Bowl contender for the next 2 years. And then they ship off Baker. Like, this is just a. We just keep beating the drum on this thing, but it's just insane how quick of a fall off it was for this Browns team. Like, Joe Flacco, crazily being their saving grace, but it was just short lived. It's almost like you could almost compare this to the almost sudden downfall of the Dallas Mavericks right now in the last month. Right?
Yeah, except the Browns were really never that. Great. I mean, everyone knew once Watson came back, it was right back to the cellar.
Yeah, for sure. I'm more saying, like, in terms of the Baker Mayfield bringing him to the playoffs, got him a playoff victory, and then almost took down the Chiefs that year. And then all of a sudden he's like, for some reason, the most hated man in Cleveland, and they get him out of there almost instantly. Like, pretty much the year right after they made the playoffs. And the quick fall off, you could even, like I said, you could point to the Dallas Mavericks as a bit of a comparison. Literally, the Mavericks in the last month, they trade Luka Doncic for Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis gets hurt in the first game that he plays, hasn't played since. They're saying that he's probably not going to play the rest of the season. Kyrie Irving tears his ACL terribly. Sorry, it's turned into a basketball podcast, but it's kind of a similar.
Yeah, it's a comparison. It's a cross-sport comparison.
It's just a similar downfall to how it's all going. On top of all the other injuries that the Dallas Mavericks are dealing with as well. And then they announced they're going to raise season ticket prices by 8% for next season.
I did see that. There's no reason. Like, there's literally no reason for that. Like, I don't understand how you can justify it when you're not good.
Right before Kyrie Irving tore his ACL.
Yeah.
It's terrible, terrible things going on.
Oh, don't give Cleveland any ideas.
Yeah, for real. Huh. I think that's everything then, right? I think we've gotten to everything that's happened since Wednesday.
Yep. All the news is fit to print, as the kids say.
Yep. All the news. I'm going to take this out of CJ's mouth right now. Pause. Check out everything, all the news stories on the Fumble Brewski Instagram, where we're breaking all the news, potentially breaking news before anyone else is able to get to it first. AKA such as JPA. Maybe we're just 5 minutes. Maybe we're just like 30 seconds late on Adam Schefter. Maybe we're just 30 seconds late.
It has been known to happen.
Well, yeah. Anything else you want to throw in before we wrap up here today, CJ?
Nope, that's pretty much it. Good luck to everyone in free agency.
That'll do it for us for this Friday edition of the Fumble Rooski podcast. The last Friday episode before free agency rips. Thank you for tuning in. Of course, we have new episodes out on Tuesday at 7:30. Of course, Fridays at 5. Be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel. Also have all our episodes available on Spotify, Spreaker, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Google Podcast, and so much more. Be sure to follow our Instagram, FumbleRooski_podcast. Keep up with the pod and the latest coverage on the NFL. Otherwise, for myself, Chris Kostich, ECJ Medeiros, we'll see you on Tuesday. Over and out.